Hallelujah.
Okay, let's stand for a little bit again.
For you alone deserve all glory. For you alone deserve all praise. Father, we worship and adore you. Father, we love to sing your praise. For you alone deserve all glory. For you alone deserve all praise. Father, we love you and we worship you this day. For you alone deserve all glory. For you alone deserve all praise. Father, we worship and adore you. Father, we love to sing your praise. For you alone deserve all glory. For you alone deserve all praise.
We know that no one has received anything that was not given to him from above. We thank you. We thank you for today. We thank you for the celebrations in this weekend. We thank you for 25 years. Not 25 days, not 25 months, but 25 years. Beyond the counting of the years, we thank you for how you have transformed our lives. Thank you for where you took us from. Thank you for where you brought us to. Thank you for where you are taking us to. We are most grateful. Words fail us to express the depth of our gratitude towards you. To express your goodness, your greatness, your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Indeed, we give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So thank you all very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And good to see everyone. Good to see Pastor and Mrs. Amoda. Thank you for being here. Great. And Pastor MY, good to have you around. We welcome you. Amen. Pastor Funke Ekwodun. Is Pastor Funke's video there? No video. So should we talk? Well, from what year? That's what crossed my mind. 96. Okay, so for those who might be getting confused, you say they are doing 25 years, but they are talking 1996. 25 years when Sunday morning services started, 2nd of July, year 2000. So there was a fellowship before then. That's where you are hearing of 1990, which started in 1994. You know, and 1994 we started the... I was thinking about it. My first state minister was Dr. Akinojo. but the first resident pastor was Pastor BJ. No, was Pastor Kumi Akonde, who will be here tomorrow and will be preaching tomorrow. Me, I came to celebrate. You know, he'll be ministering tomorrow. He's the state pastor for Salvation Ministries. And he'll be speaking here tomorrow. He's been trying to come for many years. So this one, he said, no. Whatever he has to do, sneaking, go on a kino, climb a camel, whatever, he says he will be here. So, and I want to assure you, please be here. You will be blessed, I guarantee you. Amen. We've kept up fellowship over the years, even through all his sojourn. He left when he went to serve, you know, in Port Harcourt. That's when he left. But we've kept in touch, you know, ministry-wise. We talk, we pray together, share counsel together. Last time I was with him was in his place in Abeokuta, and he took me to eat some nice amala, and all of us. So we fellowship, and I very much in touch. And I think that's that much we have had in SDA. Everybody, like Pastor Larry says, is a family, and we have kept in touch, you know, as it were. And God is helping us and blessing us. Amen. Hallelujah. And Pastor BJ is what year now? Huh? 1999. Aha. Okay. So, anyway, so I've explained to you why it's 25 years. So, 2nd July 2000, Reverend Bridget Collady, you know, was here to inaugurate the church. You know, on our first service, not here, we're at the other side back in the days, in New Bodija. And we moved here by revelation. I remember, I hope Sister Mariah's video, anyway, she even contacted me and asked one or two questions, so I'm sure her video is there. So she, when we're moving here, I remember when we got this place, shortly after that, she got in touch with me. She was in South Africa. I said, so the church is moving. I said, yes. He said, is it around this area? And I said, yeah. I said, why do you ask? He said, because I saw it. You know, so we came by revelation to this place. God sent us here. And we knew that he had made room for us here. Amen. We knew that he placed us here as a light. Hallelujah. And we thank God that we have been able to stay with the mission all of those years. I was reading, and in the last 10 years in the UK, at least 3,500 churches have closed down. Some churches have been converted to nightclubs. Some churches, where they try to resist them being converted to mosques. But you have that kind of epidemic. But we thank God, apart from a changed life, we thank God that we were able to stay. And I celebrate the church leadership. Please put your hands together for them that were able to stay through thick and thin. Hallelujah. And stay with what God has asked us to do, because there's a lot of fad around. We did not go with the fad. Amen. We have stayed on the mission, and we are still on a mission. And God also is helping us out. Hallelujah. That's how come in all of those years, God also has helped us to move from tenant to owner. And in fact, when he brought us, like I said, it was by revelation. I think I shared the story before. The first time I came and I saw this place, I felt, this is the place. There was a place further down the road that I saw. Somehow, I don't even remember what it was about it. But anyway, I turned around, came here, and I saw this place that had just been renovated a little bit. And I thought, this looks like the place. So I came in and I asked around about it. And the agent was around, you know, so he saw me, yes, he's the agent. I'm not sure whether he was on his way out when I got in, you know, and then we spoke. I said, I'm interested, you know, and all that. And then we spoke about it, and he said, what do you want this place for? And I said, a church. And, of course, it's two parts. This is the passage, I think, or was the passage, yes. So he said, look, what do you want it for? You know, and we had just that site initially. So I said, well, church. And he said, church. He said, how are you going to use it for church? I said, we're going to knock down the walls there and create an auditorium. And he said, okay. And then he went ahead and told me, you know, this is how much it is, blah, 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 blah. And he was to tell me years later, he said, honestly, I don't know why I said yes. He said, because another church had come before. And when I asked them the question, and they said, we'll knock down the walls. I said, no. We won't allow anybody to knock down walls in this place. He said, and then you came, and I said, what will you do? And he said, you will knock down the walls. And I said, yes. He said, I don't even know why I said yes when I did. But God sent us here. Can I have an amen? Well, I don't have much time tonight, but let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Which is where you know that, of course, that phrase came from. And, of course, when I'd not really given it much of a thought, but it's also, I don't think I answer too many questions instantly. But the day Pastor BJ asked me what would be the theme, it was shocking that I answered you instantly. Because my attempt is always to hear what God has to say. He says it's what you hear in the secret, you declare on the rooftop. So you don't just declare, you hear it in secret. So, but that day as we were talking and all that, I think I was about to go, when he said, oh, what about the theme of the anniversary? And I just said, from glory to glory. Because just I said it just as I heard it. Amen. And it means that God is saying something to us. Amen. He's telling us that we are moving from glory to glory. The thing about God and what God says is that they must never be taken for granted. Because every time God wants to change something or create something or do something, he releases words. You know, that's what he does. He just sends words. He said he sent his word and delivered them from their destructions. That's what he did. He didn't do anything. He didn't come down himself. He just sent his word. But when he looked at the word, the Bible says that the word was without form. Void without form. It was basically chaotic. Everything was upside down. Nothing was working. And then God said, that's all he did. He just spoke. He said, let there be. As a matter of fact, in the original Hebrew, God said, light be. And light was. Are you hearing me? And that's all God needs to say to you. He needs to say to you, move forward. And then you just move forward. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If God says to you, this is it, you are going to be, that's all, that's all. There is nothing more you need. No gyration, no, other than just stay in the place of prayer, thanking God that you heard him say so. You know why? Because once he says so, he says, I won't alter that which has gone out of my mouth. He said, rather, I watch over my words to perform it. So the biggest thing in any situation of life is to hear God say something. It's for you to have God's word. The moment you have God's word, the matter is a done deal. It doesn't matter what happens after that. You know, they brought a boy to Jesus in Mark chapter 9. And it says, since his youth, he had been troubled by his spirit. You know, and when that spirit was troubling him, sometimes he says he chose him in the fire, sometimes in the water. Now, the spirit threw him on the floor, haven't had a command, and there was struggle. But Jesus wasn't moved by the struggle. That's my real point here. Are you hearing me? Is that he wasn't moved by the devil's displays. He didn't pay attention to that. As a matter of fact, when the word stands and begins to deal with a matter, you will get a bit of display sometimes. The Bible in Mark chapter 4, Matthew 13, Luke 8, calls it persecution that comes for the word's sake. That means that there are things that will happen that won't look like it. But as long as you have God's word, then know that it is what? A done deal. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, one day my mom came to our house. This is all not part of it. I'm trying to start to introduce. Okay? She came to my house and, you know, talked to blah, blah, blah. And then she told me the trouble she was having with tenants in a certain property. And she was really troubled. So as she spoke, told me everything, pray. I didn't say anything. I was just looking at her. I said, okay. Pray, okay. Because again, what you need is God's word. Are you hearing me? And when she left, I had God's word. And God said, the rod of the wicked will not exact upon the lot of the righteous. So I called her. I said, you know what? That matter is a done deal. No big deal. It's settled. Why? Why would I say that? I have not even prayed, but I had God's word. God said, the rod of the wicked will not exact upon the lot of righteous. I called, I said, that matter, don't worry. Everything will be fine. Everything was fine. Are you with me? Tap your neighbor. Say, God's word is the big deal. 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 17. I know that yesterday I couldn't make it in, but I tried to listen at the beginning, and I knew that Pastor BJ read this, the whole chapter. So I don't need to read the whole chapter again. We'll just take verses 17 and 18. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, can I hear you say we all? So we're moving together. Are you with me, anybody? We all of us, we're not going to leave any man behind. You know, not one, not a child, not a girl, not a boy, not nobody. We all of us will step into the levels of glory that God has in mind for us. Can I have an amen? Every single one of us will get where God has destined us to be. We will, and you know where that is? That's greatness. Every one of us will be great. I don't care what your past is. I don't care what your history is. I don't care what challenges you are faced with. I'm saying that as we sit and we look at this scripture, God is saying something to us. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. There are many times when the Bible will talk about the glory of God, and it says the glory of God will appear in a place. Oftentimes when it describes it that way and it says the glory of God appears in a place, it's talking about a physical manifestation, and about what there means the heaviness of God. It's the heaviness of God. That's why people wonder sometimes and say, how come when we are praying for some people here, I was in a meeting, somebody was praying and people were falling down. It's the heaviness of God. If God sat on you, will you not fall down? Are you there, anybody? All it needs is a finger on you, isn't it? And you will fall down. So it doesn't mean that if you don't fall down, God is not touching you. But I'm saying to you that you get that manifestation. That's the heaviness of God. But when he's talking here also, he's saying the glory we are transformed into the same image. He's talking about the majesty, the honor, the grace, the all what God is and all that God stands for. He said that as we walk with God, we are transformed into the same image as God. We carry the same majesty. We carry the same honor. The same transformation begins to take place in our lives. You know, I was thinking to myself that honestly, if we looked at it, and you have heard some of the stories, maybe we haven't heard the full stories. But if you heard the full stories, and I wish there was time to hear full stories, people will tell you how God has transformed their lives as they walked with God, even just in the last 25 years, but of course many even beyond that. They will tell you that this is who I used to be. This is where I was. This is how bleak things looked, but this is who I am now. They may not feel that they have reached the height of it, and honestly they haven't. That's why we're talking of glory to glory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But they can look back and say, hey, where I came from is far. And I didn't know I could come this far, but God is able. Just like she reminded us tonight, how will you think it incredible that God should raise the dead? That's Paul speaking. He was giving an answer to them, and he was saying, why are you questioning this gospel? That you are saying is fabulous. You know, somebody said that's where fabulous came from. That we said that God raised the dead, he said, hi, it's Babu. He said, no. If you were talking about Paul, it's okay. If you are talking about Peter, it's okay. If you are talking about James, it's okay. He said, but how can you think it's incredible? Incredible means it lacks credibility. That God should raise the dead. He was saying that the moment we put God in that mix, all things become possible. Are you hearing me? I mean, I was listening to Pastor Adibo here and he was sharing the testimony. He said, so many of you won't believe this. And he shared the testimony of somebody who went back, whose sister died, and said, please don't bury her until I come because I'm still busy. I can't get off work, but do whatever. Embalm, do whatever, but don't bury until I arrive. And when she arrived, she went there and prayed and anointed her, put a prayer cloth on her, and thought, well, nothing was happening. But as she turned to go, the lady sat up. 11 days after being dead. I might say, but the moment you mention God, are you hearing what I'm saying? The moment you said it's God we are talking about, you didn't say the lady did something. You didn't say the lady understood how to do this or that. You are saying that she brought God into the mix. And the moment you bring God into the mix, anything can happen. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
You know, I mean, recently my mom traveled, and as the night before she was in my house, and we're talking, and I was still telling her, you know, at a certain age, you need to take it easy. All these things are stressful, blah, 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 blah. And then I dropped off at the airport and she traveled. And 3 days later, my phone was ringing off the hook in the morning. There was just everybody was calling me from everywhere. You know, ah, mommy is sick. Mommy is sick. Blah. And I said, oh, God. First, I thought, but this is what I told her about her. That this thing is stressful. Now, look at all the trouble. In fact, they even called and offered me. I said, we'll buy you a ticket now. To come now. I said, no, let me think about it. You know, because I have other things to do. You know, so I then called her and I was speaking to her. I said, what's going on? She said, I can't swallow. I said, you can't swallow. She said, I can't even swallow my speech. I said, so you haven't eaten? She said, no, for 3 days. Or is it 2 days now? Like, this is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning now. I said, so you haven't? She said, no, I can't. It's not, I can't even drink water. I can't swallow my speech. I have a bottle beside me that I'm spitting into. Not to talk of taking water. I said, then so go to the hospital. He said, we've been there and we waited for hours. And they looked and said, they don't know what is going on. They can't do anything about it. And I was thinking, now, wow, what is this one now? You know, I talked of all the medicine I knew. It didn't make sense. I've never heard of salt before and it didn't make any sense. And I was thinking, I began to pray about it and I thought, God, what is all this about? And I felt God leading me to say, just call her and tell her to start taking warm water with salt and just be gargling with it and she'll be okay. You know, I'm saying this also because many times we forget what God has done. Because even at first, I thought, maybe it was, you know, but later I realized it was the working of miracles. Are you with me? Because I'll tell you why. I called her and I told her, do this. She said, I have done it. It didn't work. My brother is older in the medical profession than me. I even went to read. I said it could be this. He said it could be a kidney sign of a stroke. My brother said, but all the other things are missing. I said, I agree with you. I can't find anything else. I said, but it doesn't make sense. You know, so then I told her, she said, I've done it. It's not working. I said, do it again. Try to do it again. Then I called my brother. I said, well, you may end up having to go back. He said, those people didn't treat us too well at the emergency room. I said, you may have to go back. You don't have a choice. You can't keep her at home with no food, no water. She'll be dehydrated. She's elderly, blah, blah, blah. I said, so, but I told her, I said, do it again. Continue to do it. Don't stop. Just keep doing it. And by the time my brother got home, this was now in the afternoon that I was calling her and I told her to do that. By the time he got home, she was ready for pap. You know, everybody, what are you doing? What did you do? Honestly, I think it's not. What did you do to drop, what was it called? What did Elisha do that he dropped a stick in a place and the axe head floated? Axe head, as heavy as it is, the axe head floated. So that's the working of miracles. There's a working to do. There's something to be done. But that thing doesn't really make sense. Are you with me? But I'm saying to you that when you put God in the mix, the impossible becomes possible. She has not needed any medical care since then. My brother was even thinking, she didn't know. My brother was discussing with me and saying, it looks like we'll... Another. She didn't know. That it looks like this is the end. We are no longer going to be allowing this. She must go back. Another. I said, it's between you. We agree, but... Are you still with me? God can do anything. And God is saying to us, when you look at that text, and he says that he, as we behold, as if in a mirror, with our unveiled faces. So basically, he was comparing the New with the Old Testament. And he was saying that every time you read the Old Testament, whatever you see in there is very small compared to what we are experiencing on or under the New Covenant. He's saying that when you are looking at the New Testament, I mean the Old Testament, it's like watching your film with a veil over your face. It's like you're watching the film and you're watching it through the curtain. Have you ever watched film through the curtain before? You haven't. In the days when we're growing up, you know what I'm talking about. When we're growing up and not everybody had, what do you call it? Either television on the street, or eventually those who had television, not everybody had cable TV. and you have to watch football. And somebody is showing it, but their sitting room is there, and you have to stand outside, and you are peeping, you are looking through. You know, you are seeing, but you are not seeing. You get what I'm saying? He's saying that whatever you saw under the old covenant is like that kind of sin. He said, but under the new covenant, it's like everything has been removed. You have now been invited to come into the sitting room and balance directly, the chair directly in front of the TV. And he's saying, begin to watch now and see clearly. That's like watching on a big screen. Are you hearing me? Now, so he says, we have now come with unveiled faces. And as we also begin to look, something supernatural happens. He said, as we are looking, we read the Amplified somewhere along the line. He says, what we are looking at is that we are looking at the glory of God in the Word of God. He said, but as we are doing so, just like you are hearing now, and every time you open your Bible in the morning and you are reading, he says, something supernatural is happening. There is a transformation that happens. That God begins to change your life. You won't even know how much, to what degree the changes are coming. He's saying, but the changes are happening. Something is happening. Every time you sit under God's word, every time you are studying the Bible, something is happening. Please tap your neighbor and say, something is happening. You can't be the same person. You know, also back in the day, I was thinking about it one day, and I was remembering that as I was growing up, I mean, Pastor Nwai was only telling you one part with me and my school shirt and my briefcase, but I was also a martial arts person. So I used to fight. I used to fight karate. And I developed very strong reflexes. I used to practice by punching the wall to harden my knuckles. And my reflexes were quite fast. You know, and one day, you know, somebody tried to play a trick on me, just coming around the corner when they take light in the evening, and this lady just tried to scare me. And the moment she did, I jumped back and I kicked so high that she ended up screaming. Because she didn't expect, I didn't think about it. My reflexes were developed that way. But I thought about it now, and I thought, look, the me that could react and fight, now people do all kinds of things, and I smile. People do all kinds of things. They can't get me to react. You can't get me to insult people. You can't get me to slap people. You can't get me to do anything like that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is a transformation. There is the love of God that is growing inside of my heart, but it's so strong that it builds the force of patience. Are you with me? He said, but we all. So, as we look at that, the glory of God that is now spoken of here is the majesty of God. It's like in Exodus 33. When Moses spoke to God, 33:18, and he said, Lord, please show me your glory. And God said, I will allow all of my goodness to pass before you. So when you also speak about the glory of God, you are talking about all. Can I hear you say all? All of God's goodness. He says, and I will declare my name Yahweh before you. You know that name Yahweh means what? The Lord of hosts. I will declare my name Yahweh. Meaning what? I will go before you and start fighting your battles for you. That means that you will experience all of the goodness of God. And not only so, you don't have to lift a finger in any fight. Saying that I must claim this. I must prove my rights. I must... No. God said, I will go before you and I will fight all the battles for you. I'll fight the battle at home. I'll fight the battle at work. I'll fight the battle in the neighborhood. I'll fight the battle everywhere for you. And every time you have an issue, remember that I am there fighting for you. You know, I was meditating on Psalm 46 this morning, and I never connected them. But verse 1 says, I am God, the very present help in the time of trouble. The very present help in the time of trouble. Meaning that ordinarily, he said, I'm with you always. He said, but when it's the time of trouble, you can mark me present twice. I am very present. So in the time of trouble, when you are scared, when you are thinking, why has God forsaken? No. God said, that's the time that I'm really there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then in verse 10, he said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the heavens. I'll be exalted on the earth. One says, don't let the anxiety go. Let the anxiety go. And you discover that I am God. I rule in heaven and I rule on earth. Meaning, if you just let go and let me be God in your life, then you will discover that I'm in charge of everything. You discover that I can step into any situation, I can step anywhere, and I can turn anything around. Nothing is beyond me. For the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, and even the people that are therein. Are you still with me, anybody? So two things you get from this text. One is, God is saying that I will, in fact, three things. God is saying, I will take you to a place of glory. He's saying, but even that place of glory, there's no resting point. There are levels. And I will keep taking you from one level to another level. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's saying that there is a progression. So first be sure. First be sure. And tonight my emphasis by the leading of God is to tell you that you need to be certain of the glory of God on your life. Be certain that that glory of God, you may say, I can't see anything. You will soon see it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So be certain that me, my story is different. No matter what is going on, anywhere you are, know that your case is different and the glory of God will be seen on your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The intention, if you look at it, and those are some of the scriptures that I had him reading yesterday, that says in Proverbs 4:18 that the path of the righteous is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter and brighter as unto the perfect day. But talks about the fact, Psalm 37:37 says, mark the perfect man, behold the blameless. He said, the end of that man is peace. He said, look, if your beginning is small, your latter end shall greatly increase. Job 8:7. So God is promising you that there is glory in your destiny. Are you with me? Thus, in order to make sure I can stop, let's go to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. And we'll just quickly use the example of Abraham and I can stop. Isaiah 51. You know, many years ago, I had a disagreement with a friend. And it was a disagreement over some money. And as we disagreed and discussed this, and you know, the Bible says, stop, how did he put it? Stop contention, is it? Before it becomes strife. So, as the thing got on, at the point I just said to him, you know what? In my own point of view, he was cheating me. So I said to him, I said, don't worry about it. I said, see, the money we are talking about today, I said, it's going to be small to you, and it will be small to me tomorrow. I said, that much will happen. That money will be naughty to both of us. I said, but I don't want us to have destroyed our relationship now. Because then we wonder, we destroyed the relationship and the things we needed to do with each other and for each other, we will not be able to do over money that won't mean anything to us tomorrow. Are you with me? I'm talking about certainty. God wants you to be certain that your future is bright. God wants you to be certain that he's taking you somewhere. He said, look, don't cast away your expectation. He said, for the expectation of a righteous man will not be cut off. Don't give up on yourself. The psalmist was speaking about it. He said in Psalm 27, he said, I would have perished unless I had believed to see the goodness. Remember, we talked about glory as the goodness of God. He said, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Listen, it's not all going to be in the street by and by. God says his glory will arise upon you here and now. Remember Isaiah 60, he said, now that darkness may cover the land, gross darkness to the people. He said, but the glory of God will be seen upon you. Are you with me? Listen, you know, it's very interesting that when you think about that, he said, arise, shine, for your light is come. Abby? And then he talks about darkness and gross darkness upon the people. He said, for darkness shall cover the land. What that means is that the darkness is even more reason why the light of God will be seen upon you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? The darkness is an opportunity. The darkness is an opportunity. So that when you tell your stories, there's no way we will not accept that God was there. Are you getting me? There's no way that you will tell your story and it's believable without putting God inside. God is that X, you know, in mathematics. And they say 60 plus X equals minus 10. 60 plus X equals 120,000. What is X? X is that thing that can be anything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that's what God said. That's how he introduced himself. When Moses asked, he said, tell them I am. I am what? Anything. I am. Anything you need, I am. So if they say, oh, we will kill, I am. God said, I am. I am what? Your protection. If they say, oh, you will never make it in the wilderness, say, God said, I am. I am what? I am your guide. Are you getting me? So God is the X in your life, the X factor that ensures that anything is possible. There's no impossibility. Can I have an amen? Okay, so Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51 and verse 1. He said, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, or you were cut out, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father. Remember, it's called the father of faith. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord will comfort Zion, he will comfort all our waste places. He will make a wilderness like Eden, and a desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving, and the voice of melody. What was God saying? He was saying, look, these are the things I will do for you. And I want you to look at Abraham as an example. That if Abraham's life can be the way it is, then you can believe that I will do these things that I said I will do. Can I have an amen? And if you look at it, that certainty, one of the interesting things for me about Abraham, I was thinking about Genesis 14. And in Genesis 14, Abraham had gone to fight. Very interesting. Very interesting in the sense that some kings came, they raided a land, they took everything, destroyed things, took everybody captive, took and packed away all their goods and all of that. And Abraham took his household. Can I hear you say household? So nations were fighting war. A man took his household, or let's say his company. So Abraham and sons, no, he didn't have sons. So Abraham, PSC, and he took the workers that were working there and all of that, and he gave them all guns and said, let's go. They say America is fighting. They say, what's our own business with that one? You understand what I'm talking about? But he said, let's go, because my nephew was involved. And he went there, and he won. And he took back everything those guys had taken, and was bringing it back. And the kings of the place said, look, you know what? Just give us the people. So that we will have another, we can rebuild our nation, but you can keep the goods. The interesting thing for me, every time I read it, it trips me, is that Abraham stood there and he said, I've lifted my hand before God, but no man will say that I made Abraham rich. What was Abraham saying? He was saying, I know I will be. Are you getting me? I'm talking about being certain. He was saying, I am certain of what God will do with my life. And I don't want anybody to be able to brag and say it's me that made Abraham. We need to get to that place of conviction. That's why all those scriptures we're talking about, Proverbs 4:18, Psalm 37, 37, all those scriptures are important. You need to get to the place where you are certain. Are you hear what I'm saying? Where you are certain that I'm going somewhere. I will get there. I will be this. The glory of God will be seen on my life. I am sure. I'm not guessing. I know it for sure. Are you hearing me? Here this very, one of the things you get in that place is that he says, as we behold in the world. So that certainty comes from an interaction. But as I walk with God, and how do I walk with God? I walk with him in his word. When we walk with the Lord, what a glory he sheds on our way. You don't know him. Eh? When we do his good will, he abides with us still. Not with those who will trust and obey. So you need to know that as you walk with God, but there is glory for a certainty. Are you with me? Abraham was pretty sure about that. Now let's go to Genesis 17. Genesis 17, and let me try to see if we can wrap it up there. Genesis 17. Are you getting anything tonight? So Genesis 17. He said, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. I actually have so many verses that I would love to read. You know, but at 99, God came back and he said, look, that was the same chapter. Now, where God began to tell Abraham, and he said, now by this time next year, at the set time next year, you will have a child. You will have the child that I promised you. So at 75, Abraham walked out in obedience to God. God said, come out from your father's house, blah, blah, blah. I'll take you to a land that I will show you. He obeyed. He stepped out at 75. He was doing the incredible. He did all of the things we talked about. He fought the battle we talked about. God blessed him. He was rich in cattle and all kinds of things. He was a great man. But the greatness hadn't reached certain areas. Along the line, Abraham was convincible. Because his wife came and said, look, it looks like that matter. Let's help God. And they helped God. They had Ishmael. When they had Ishmael, he was 86. That's 11 years after. By the time he was 99, he was still waiting for Isaac. I'm talking about the fact that sometimes you're on that journey. You are seeing God do certain things. But along the line, you are beginning to get tired. And you are thinking that certain things are not happening. You are thinking that I'm stuck in a certain situation. I'm stuck at a certain level. There's no more going forward. Remember what we're talking about tonight is that God is saying to you, be certain of the glory of God. So the visitation of God at 99 was to reassure Abraham. And say, when I say it, I mean it. I don't alter what has gone out of my mouth. The promise I made still stands. God came and he encouraged him again. And then he told him at the set time next year. And it happened exactly as he said. Making it what? Almost 25 years after God spoke to him is when he got Isaac. Are you still there? I'm speaking tonight because I also believe that God wanted me to pray for people who feel like I'm stuck. In a situation. I'm stuck in a situation. And God is saying, no. That whatever makes you feel stuck is being broken tonight. One of the things I've learned also in working with God years ago, we went to, I don't know if you were there, I went to preach in one place in Ijebu. It's Ijebu this way too. You know the one we call Ijebu this way too. That means when you are going on the road, there are some towns that you just see one small signboard. They put it by the roadside. Say this way too. So they are very small villages. They just put a signboard there because people just pass them by. Nobody knows that they are there. So they just put one small sign. They write this way too. So I went to one of the Jebu this way too, and went to minister there at the church. And I remember as we prayed at the end, there was a lady at the back. It was just at the back. Almost seeing her as I speak, you know, at the left side of the auditorium. And she testified later. She said she had just been held by fear. But as we prayed, she saw a ball of fire coming towards her. And she tried to dodge. She moved to the right. The fire will follow her to the right. Moved to the left. Fire follow her to the left. Until she stood and the fire hit her, she said, but she just felt the fear leave her. And she was free. Are you with me? When God brings certain things to my mind, I've come to discover that it's because he's doing something like that again. I was in a meeting and I was remembering. It was one of the, I think it was the School of Miracles in Lagos. And all of a sudden, God brought to my mind, you know, something that happened in Abeokuta. Yeah, where I was ministering, and when I was ministering, as I was going, actually, God began to lay on my heart that somebody's hair was falling. Just hair falling, you know. You know, the women understand it more. The men don't care. They just cut the hair, you know. But the women know when they are concerned about my hair is falling, my hair is falling. So when God spoke that to me, I thought it was a woman automatically that who would be concerned about your hair is falling is a woman, you know. So I said it at the meeting. And the person that came out was a man. You know, but it was strange. So I said, well, actually, I was obedient enough to say, when I said it, I said, I think it's a woman, but God didn't tell me it's a woman, so it could be a man. You know, and it was a man, ultimately. But that day, as I was ministering in Lagos, God brought that back to my mind. So I knew, and I said, well, it means that God wants to do something similar. There's somebody whose hair is falling. And, finished ministering, laid hands on other people and all that. And it was actually a girl. And I said, but this time around, I believe it's a woman, you know. And it was a girl. And the parents brought her out. And apparently, truly, her hair had been falling excessively whenever they comb, you know, losing your hair, blah, blah, and combing. It just fall. But from that day, it stopped. Are you with me? God wants to trust you forward. One of the things he said to me, I wrote it down, weeks ago. And he said, tell them to go forward. Tell them to go forward. Take the steps. Do what you want to do. Do what has been on your mind. Go forward. Because when you go forward, the sea will part. Can I have an amen? Tell them to go forward. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet tonight. Begin to pray. Begin to talk to God. I don't know what he said to you tonight. He speaks to us collectively, but he also speaks to us individually. So when we're in a meeting like this, he's speaking specific things to your heart. Certain things caught your attention and burned inside of you. How do I know God is speaking to me? It burned inside of you. It felt bigger than it was. He met two men discussing. Jesus rose from the dead. And he walked with two men who were discussing. And he made as if he was going to continue the journey when they turned. And then he said, look, why don't you come with us? And he went with them. And then as he sat with them at dinner, he broke the bread and gave them the wine. And their eyes were open. And then he disappeared. And he said, oh, didn't our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us? How do you know he's talking to you? Your heart burns within you. Your heart burns within you. So what is he saying to you tonight? Hold on to what he said to you tonight. And say, Lord, that is my word. That one is my word. Write it down. Meditate upon it. Maybe it's the scripture. You go back and sit with that scripture. You brood that scripture. You incubate that scripture. Abraham stood and he said, I have lifted my hands to God and I've sworn that I will not have any man say, I made Abraham rich. Abraham will be a great man. That's what he was saying. Abraham will be a great man. I know that I know that I know. My God and the rock on which I stand, I have found my place in your arms of grace. Oh, you are my God. Oh, you are my God. You are my God. You are my God. And the rock on which I stand, I have found my place in your arms of grace. Oh, you are my God. I have found my place. It's in me.
Now, if you are that person that you feel, well, maybe you still even feel like God has blessed you, God has done some things in your life, but you feel like you've gotten to a point where you are not moving forward. Sometimes what you need is direction. And as we pray tonight, you will have encounters with God. You will have encounters with God. Some people, He will visit you and you will have direction. You'll know what to do. For some people, whether it's something that's holding you bound, it will be broken. And you'll be free. Just like the lady with fear that I said. And you just be free. It was supernatural fear that you couldn't explain. It was just there. Whatever it might be, God will move in your life to trust you forward. So if you're any of those people, just lift your right hand where you are. Just lift your right hand where you are. Father, thank you. Maybe you should come forward. I see one hand. I'm not sure I'm seeing many hands. Okay, I see two hands there, three. Let's go. Yeah, just Maka ya baka tabala praso pregadish tabrahasa. Everybody praying, worshiping. Lesaka baraka so brahana sekele praso pregadish tabrahasa kali prakadosh tabahasa. Ya sakila hastom praste praste prakaso pradish tabahate. Lepa likadish tabahano so prokodosh tabradish tabahane. Legele bahas tabrahane. I can feel that unction getting strong on my hand. Legele bakato sabala ba yikele bahasta brahane. Legele basta brahane. Free in the name of Jesus. Makele bakata ya bahasta. Just lay them down, lay them down. It's God's anesthesia. Legele basta brahane. Lesuka bahasta brande estia. Yep. God's help. God's mighty hand comes upon you. God's mighty hand comes upon you. God's mighty hand comes upon you. God's mighty hand. And I declare broken in the name of Jesus by the power of God. And in the name of Jesus. Just give me your hand. And hold with expectation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, that's it. Flows right through you. Makele basta bahane. Leke dosta braka baya kaladosa. Belida bayanda kalide prosopre kista bahate. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Leke dosta brahane. Yeah, that's it. Coming on heavy. Yeah, coming on heavy. Heavy. Coming on heavy. Le braka basta brahane. Sekele brasto braheste bahate. Give me that. Just hold it. Yeah, that's it. Just flow right through. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your glory. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Makila Basta Brahande. Thank you. Makila Basta Brahande. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Amazing.
Maybe next time we'll talk about certain things. There are certain things I've not reached. Well, let's take a moment and just give him thanks tonight. Give him thanks tonight. Give him thanks tonight. Give him thanks tonight. Just a moment, I heard God say there's somebody that didn't step out, but his hand is on you. You just don't even know what it is and what to conceive. That's you. Is that you? Is that you? Just lift your hands right where you are. Father, thank you for your mighty hand is on her. Your mighty hand is on her. Your mighty hand is on her. And that's stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Touched by the power of God. Yeah, that's God's power. It's coming on stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. It's increasing. I was going to just pray and hand it, but it's increasing. It's getting stronger. And that heaviness will be on you for days. It'll be on you for this. Stop praying and just take it in. Just take it in. Just take it in. Move upon her, the Spirit of God. Yeah, that glory of God will rest upon you for days. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord. The things you taught are impossible are possible with God. The things you taught are holding you back are broken. They 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 are broken. Yakados Abrahando Sofredis Abrahande Sekila Brasto Fredis Abrahande Legedos Abrahando Sofredis Abrahande Legedos Sofredis Abrahande Levekeledos Abrahando Socrobosto Beledis Abahata Lekesto Brahande, Sikala Basta, yeah, that's the power of God. Leproso Predista Brahande, Lekedoso Predista Brahande, Sukopali, Lesekeledista Brahande, Leposo Kodoprosto Veledi, Lesokotoprakidista Brahande. Thank you for being there. Lako Saprahasto Veledi. Thank you for standing behind that patiently. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Causes are broken. Causes are broken. Someone was specifically cursed. Specifically cursed. You mean not? This is not your guest. They said it to you. Specifically. But that's broken. That's broken. Where the power of God is, it breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. Is what the Bible says. And I had him say the curse is broken. Lebo sabara dushta bahane. Reke Boshta Brahasta, Lord bless Mama. Bless Mama. Yeah, Lebosha Brahasta ready. Bless Mama. Le Brahasta Prakishta Bahanis Dokro Boshta Vedi. Bless Mama. Male Boshta Brahondo Sofradishta Bahane. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you're here and you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, Please do so tonight. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Not because there's anything to be ashamed of, but we're just encouraging you. Right where you are, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you have, but you know that you are not the way you should be, and you are not confident that you have that relationship with God that you should have. You can have that confidence again. It's such a loving God, gracious God, forgiving God. Right where you are, you can put your right hand on your chest. You want to be sure. It doesn't matter what you have done. God forgives. And there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. So right where you are, you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life for the first time ever. Or you are what we call backsliding and you want to return to God. Then very boldly put your hand on your chest. Thank you for that hand. Any other hands going up, do so very quickly. Put your hand on your chest right where you are. And just tell him, Lord Jesus, I come tonight. I don't care who is here. I come and I accept that you are my Savior. You died for my sake, openly on the cross. And tonight I put my life in your hands openly. And I confess you, not just as my Savior, but as my Lord. I will live for you, even from today. Amen. Father, thank you for everyone who said that prayer and meant it. Thank you because they are saved. And thank you because they are kept by you. They will go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from knowledge to knowledge. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because indeed, on that day you present them whole. Spirit, soul, and body to receive their reward. In Jesus' name, amen.